Charlene Durfee-Francois is a passionate artist and entrepreneur who has made it her mission to redefine intimacy. She, alongside meditation teacher and author Connor Creighton, have artfully blended creativity and human connection with intimacy cards, which gamify intimacy in order to tap into the essence of human existence and make a long-lasting impact on our collective lives. Welcome, Charlene, to Sober Sex.
Creativity, authenticity, body autonomy, mental health, sexuality, gender identity, recovery, got a spiritual growth. Sober sex, all of this and more. Sober sex, you'll never get bored. Sober sex, all of this and more. Sober sex, we're never ever bored. Creativity, authenticity, body autonomy, mental health, sexuality, gender identity, recovery, got a spiritual growth. Sober sex, you'll never get bored. Sober sex, all of this and more. Sober sex, you'll never get bored. Sober sex, all of this and more.
So, we are live. How are you?
I am great. I'm ready, and I just got back from a little over a week of vacation, which was not quite vacation because I was constantly working on the campaign, but I was in Mallorca, so I'm not complaining.
Awesome. That's why you look sun-kissed. and you're in Berlin, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct? I am. And it's beautiful. People complain, but I came back and the trees are yellow and orange and all the pretty colors. Yeah. So awesome.
You sound American, however, so I'm curious as to how you wound up in Berlin.
Yeah, I'm born and raised in California, and I just came here on a vacation, and everyone was like, you're going to love Berlin. You're going to want to move there. It's so you. And I got here, and I was like, so disappointed. My expectations, this is when your expectations just ruin everything for you. But then at the end of 10 days, it all turned around and I was like, okay, I see it and I feel it. And it's been home for 6 years, a little over 6 years now.
Awesome. Was there any like culture shock when you first kind of got in?
Not really. It felt very welcoming. And I didn't really know anyone. I had an acquaintance that became a good friend, and I quickly met friends that led me to other friends. And I mean, yeah, this is kind of, as I mentioned, it is a superpower of mine to connect with people. So it was actually really fun for me to be in a city where I didn't know anyone, because, you know,
you get to see your powers work.
It was my oyster. Yeah, exactly.
No, that's awesome. I mean, it's interesting. I think being an American in France, like, it was hard because I think I didn't understand the values that I inherited and assumed everybody had, and then were kind of like, oh, well, that's actually like a product of America. That's not like a global belief.
I mean, it is interesting seeing how they view America here, like seeing my country. And when I came, Trump was in office. So everyone's like, what's wrong with your country? And I'm, you know, it was a nice thing to hear, because I'm like, it's not me, and it's not most of my friends. It's, you know, it's, but yeah, it's still interesting to see America
for sure
from this perspective.
Yeah, and then also to go home and be like, wow, like, I didn't notice all this shit before. Like, or I was kind of, yeah, I wasn't sensitive to it because I hadn't been kind of taken out of the pond, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I think especially, I don't know if that was true for you around like sex and dating, but for me, I realized that the culture of dating in France is very different from that in America, especially in New York and Los Angeles, where I was kind of coming from. Yeah. And I wondered if you experienced that also.
Oh, 100%. I hardly dated in Los Angeles when I lived there, and I was there for 15 years in the, you know, prime of my youth from like 20, I think I turned 27 there. And yeah, I couldn't hardly find anyone. I don't know if it was my, ideals and weirdness around sex and dating, because I just wouldn't have sex with someone if I didn't want them to be my boyfriend. I'm like, why would
smart.
I continue to have sex with you?
I'm like, that seems really wise in retrospect.
I guess, but I feel like I missed out on a lot. Like, I consider myself a late bloomer, you know? Like, when I got to Berlin and I was single, I'm like, oh, I'm like Samantha Jones. Like, this is amazing. And I felt safe and I felt really independent and strong. And like, I made my decisions, I could do what I want. And yeah, very different. Even with like nudity, yeah. I'm so much more comfortable being nude. Whereas, well, you know, just at the lakes and like changing in public, even saunas, like, yeah.
Well, I think the culture around it's so different, especially in Berlin, which is like, it feels much more kind of direct and like less, I don't know, like bothered, like less obsessed and less bothered than LA.
Yeah, it's not
about
sexualized.
Sex.
Well,
weird, but
your
sex
is
everywhere.
No, I mean, I was just going through the airport and that there was the, my art history is failing me now, but you know, there's that painting where the girl's pinching the other girl's nipple and
in the airport.
Yes, bless. In the airport. And
I love you, Germany. What the fuck?
And it was, I mean, it was an advertisement and I was just commenting on like how amazing that is. And yeah, and my partner was like, yeah, this is not America.
They're like, yeah, it's for the kinder.
Yeah.
Like, okay, but that's, yeah. That's cool. And it's also funny too, because I feel like there's like, it's weirdly like more like rule following. Like, you know, when you can't jaywalk because everyone is like, glares at you like you've murdered yeah. somebody.
Oh, and there's yet, children around.
Oh, yeah. Especially, they're just like, like they hiss at you. But like, there's also not this kind of, I found America very, like, you know, you have to have the, like the define the relationship conversation and stuff.
Yeah.
Or in my case, oh, it yeah. sounds like opposite to you. I was like, I don't want you to be my boyfriend. We're just having sex. And then of course I would secretly want boyfriend, you know? So like, I feel like there is this kind of like, kind of almost brutal transparency that is not as deeply not American or deeply not, kind of, I guess, coastal America. And I wonder yeah. if like, perhaps the intimacy cards that we will talk about shortly are like a response mm-hmm. to that. Because I know I personally kind of found a proclivity or like a need for like a DS or kind of BDSM oriented relationship, because it meant that we could speak explicitly about rules.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Because I could not fucking figure it out. Like the Franco yeah. Los Angeles translation was like, the culture around dating was so different and people wouldn't name it. So it was very helpful mm-hmm. to have kind of a container for what exactly was happening. And I'm wondering yeah. if like the intimacy cards might be a similar, yeah, response.
Huh. I hadn't thought of it like that as a response but what comes to mind is in, so my partnership now, we are married.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But, you know, we have an open marriage, I guess you would call it. And most of my friends in the United States don't totally understand, or I don't know, they're not judging me. They're just like, why would you do that? And
yeah, what is that?
yeah. And the thing is I'd always wanted one. Like, I didn't know how to ask for one, but I always thought they were great ideas to keep, I don't know, my independence. Like, this is really important for me, I guess, you know. I don't know if it matters. I'm an Aquarius on the cusp of Capricorn. I feel like I need my freedom.
Oh, I'm a Capricorn also.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't believe in this, but yeah. Here's some facts for you.
But yeah, so like, and the truth is we don't really practice having an open relationship, especially after COVID, but just knowing mm-hmm. that I can is kind of everything. And because, I mean, I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, but like, sex isn't the most important thing in our relationship mm-hmm. and intimacy really is. And I don't know if I've ever had such a intimate relationship with a partner and not had it be through sex, you know? Just even the eye contact that we have, like what he's able to do just through eye contact.
But no, I really appreciate that idea of like different aspects of intimacy informing your choice to kind of help other people experience like different parts of intimacy outside of kind of sexual. I think there is so much of that like sexual pressure when we hear the word intimacy, and I will definitely be discussing that. And and I really love that that's kind of the foundation of the relationship. We used to do this kind of process called Steal on Steal, which was like a small group of people doing basically an AA meeting, but like on steroids. And kind of the idea was to reflect, like act as spiritual mirrors for each other and to ask kind of questions about like, is it possible that you look at this part of your life, or is it possible that that your job isn't fulfilling and maybe you should investigate like what your heart really wants to do, or you know, kind of like and one of the questions was always like, what is the intimacy in your you know, romantic or sexual relationships like? And then it would break down like into me see. As we were like mind blown, and it sounds like you have that in your relationship.
Yeah. I mean, he knows my love language is massage, and he's gotten very good at that. And I know he loves to be pet and like fingers run through the hair and just, you know, tickling.
Scooches.
Yeah,
he loves scooches.
Streichen in German. Yeah. Oh. And, but we have our own language, our own love languages, and it's really beautiful. I think he's taught me a lot about intimacy as well.
We're re-recording after being rudely interrupted by the rain on the internet. Welcome to living in rural France. We can pick up where we left off. You were talking about knowing your love languages with your partner, which I thought was really lovely. And I think to kind of, before we proceed, I'm actually going to ask you, what are your pronouns? Because we forgot that part.
Right. She, her.
Awesome. And same. And I'm curious about, like, what is your experience of your gender today? Just because we have a lot of people with a lot of different experiences of gender.
Yeah, I actually thought that was an interesting question because, as you know, especially maybe, I don't know, particularly living in Berlin, I feel like there's way more NBs, non-binary, that I like work with, come into contact with. And I love it. I mean, I love that there is finally this other that can be non-binary. And I mean, yeah, I born cis female, but interestingly enough, like about 8 years ago or 9 years ago, I discovered I had all these fibroids and ended up getting a hysterectomy, removing everything, almost everything. I still have ovaries, but like no uterus, and I don't get my period, which is like, everyone's jealous of that.
I mean, like, it sounds like a really rough road to what could be seen as a positive solution.
But it was, I mean, so I feel, yes, I feel still very much female, but at the same time, I'm like, but I don't now have those experiences that I used to, and I'm not going to have a kid, and I've never actually wanted children, which is why it was quite easy for me to make that decision to have the hysterectomy. But I've always, you know, been attracted to men, but I kind of always felt like a gay man attracted to men, kind of. And I love women, and I'm very attracted to women, but in a platonic way. Like most of my deepest relationships are with women, and I actually learned a new phrase, which is relationship anarchist. And I was like, oh my God, that's me. Like, I love my girlfriends and I love my husband, and I love them all in different ways, but none are like better than the others, you know?
Yeah, not a hierarchical thing. Yeah, I mean, and that, actually that's a really beautiful kind of segue into this idea of the project that we're here to talk about, which is the intimacy cards. So can you tell us about the project and kind of how, like, first of all, I mean, I think it's important to frame this as time sensitive. So go for it. Pitch us.
Okay, so I started creating these cards over a year ago, and our mutual friend Kimmy, she was actually the one who suggested I make a deck of cards, and I didn't, just because I was kind of making art, and this was a lockdown project where I was just wanting to do something with my hands, so I started doing watercolor and line drawings, and I'm making these little decks of just like one sheet of paper, and when she suggested this, she's like, oh, maybe we could do an oracle deck or tarot. And I, even though I love these things, it didn't resonate with who I am. And and then I thought, oh my God, intimacy cards, because we were in lockdown or coming out of the pandemic. And it was like, you know, I was still afraid to get too close to people in the grocery store, let alone like hugging people again and being in clubs again or being close to people. And I thought there was the 36 questions to fall in love, right? This article that
we love this. Yeah.
Yes. And I had done it a few times with friends and different people. And I actually saw that it was impactful. And so I thought, and then I can do physical and energetic and emotional. And I thought, this will just be the most amazing thing because it'll combine everything. And yeah, so that's kind of how it came about in my head. Kimmy and I just sitting at the breakfast table one morning. And then I got a little black book and started keeping notes as I just thought of things that brought us closer to each other.
It sounds like, yeah, it's such a beautiful tool, and also kind of a through line. It seems like through your relationships, this is really valuable, right? This not the cards themselves, but like the idea of intimacy in its many forms.
And I thought it was important to not have it just be for couples, because I really believe in creating relationships with all sorts of people and friends and strangers. Yeah. Which I can get into more later.
Yeah, no, I'm really curious about that actually, because like, again, and before we kind of proceed, you know, the thing that kind of separates this deck from other intimacy tools, I think, like card games, is that it's not specifically sexual and about this idea of energetic intimacy. And can you talk about kind of like why, A, you didn't want it to be sexual, and B, I mean, it sounds like your kind of relationship anarchy model is really values, non-hierarchical relationship models, which is awesome. But then also this energetic intimacy, like what is it and how do you experience that? And how do you kind of like, how do people know when they're getting into energetic intimacy with one another?
Yeah. So I imagined, I mean, we are all energy, right? And we feel like if you walk in a room and you're down, like I will feel that. and if you walk into a room and you see your dog and your dog looks in your eyes and you're like looking in their eyes and you feel this love
every fucking day. Obsessed with each other.
Right? And they don't have to like speak your language. You have this energetic intimacy between you and your dog. And so, you know, there's Reiki, there's breath work, there's, you know, the eye gazing. And so I thought, how cool to create this thing where you don't have to touch and you don't have to speak, but you are feeling the other person. You're using your intuition. You are feeling how they feel. You are, breathing together. Like there's 10 cards. So there's 10 things. Some I borrowed from different modalities and made something up, and some I just made up. Completely.
But that, I mean, I don't know. It strikes me as such a, like, a beautiful way to kind of continue cultivating on release, not only like new relationships, like a fast way, as you were saying, like get to know strangers.
Yeah.
But also I think that, you know, having now been in a relationship for like over 7 years, it's helpful to have kind of tools to reconnect and to rediscover each other and to have like new points of contact, so it doesn't feel stale. And so the only questions we're asking each other aren't like, did you take the dog out? You know, that's right. Like genuine curiosity about each other's inner lives.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
And I think, I mean, energetic intimacy in, as a performer, right? You're a performer, you get on stage and you connect with your audience and you don't know, you might not know any of them. And they're feeling your energy. And this is one of my friends, Mariki, she on the Instagram, I'm trying to populate it with like answers from people discussing intimacy, because I think this conversation was so broad. And she told a story about when she was singing a song that she wrote about her father who had passed away, and she was singing and she saw this guy in the crowd and she saw him connecting with the song and she saw that he was crying and she really like felt this. And after the song was over, she got off stage and went over and gave him a hug.
Oh.
And it's like this beautiful moment of this energetic exchange then turned into like a physical intimacy, but like with a stranger that she didn't know. And I think this is the kind of thing I would love to see happen and to hear more stories about, you know, just that kind of, I don't know. One time I was dancing on, I got convinced to dance at Fusion on a stage.
Oh, cool.
With my friends. And I'd never done this in this way. And I was a little nervous, but I was dancing and I saw these people in the crowd and they were just vibing and they were there for me and I was there for them. And I was like, oh, this, I feel connected to them somehow, you know? And this, yeah, this is the energetic intimacy. This, it's a little unknown and it's experimental. And I think that this is also why I'm excited for the cards to get out there, because I'm fascinated to know how people respond to these energetic intimacy prompts and also when combining them with the physical ones and the emotional ones. And yeah.
And I'm like, I know that you did the kind of extensive beta testing and I'm curious as to kind of what that process was like what feedback you guys got.
Yeah. So I live, have you been to Berlin?
Oh yeah.
You were recording here. So Tempelhoferfeld is the old abandoned airport and it's this really, really great park now, I guess you'd call it. And people go there all the time. Lots of dates, lots of just people hanging out. So I live right next to that. And I started going and there was like two guys and a girl. And I kind of approached and I was like, hi, you know, my name's Charlene. I've got this deck of intimacy cards I'd love to introduce you to. And they were like, oh, the two guys were like, oh, this is our best friend's girlfriend. Like, I don't know if we could do this with her. And I was like, no, like, actually it's friendly. Like we could do it. Don't worry. Like, and so they were open to it. And we ended up doing several cards, like some emotional ones and the physical ones. And then I went away, tested a few other people. And at the end of the night, I came back. And they were still there and they're like, hey, you know, have a beer, come sit with us. And we did some more cards and it was so beautiful. And at the end of the night, we were all packing up to leave and the girl came over and was like, you know, thank you so much. Like these guys were my boyfriend's best friends. They've known each other since they were children and I've been friends with them. But after today, she's like, I feel like they're my brothers and I really appreciate this connection. And it was so sweet. And I was like, oh, I wish I could have recorded
that. Mission accomplished.
Can you repeat that again? But no, it was, so that was like one of the, that was the first day I went to the Feld and And then there was another couple that I had met just right before them that were, they had just broken up maybe like a few weeks prior, and they were meeting again just to see, you know, where they fit in with each other's lives, or you know how you do, like after a breakup, you're like, oh, do we make the right decision?
What's that like?
And they were super open. They were really sweet. And they did one of the energetic intimacy cards. And I actually have them in the Kickstarter campaign video doing the hand waltz, which is like the synchronized kind of a dance where you don't touch, but you each
have to mirror.
And it was so beautiful to watch them. And you could see, like, from the beginning to the end, they almost didn't even have to look at their hands or anything. They were just totally in sync. And they were afterwards just like super grateful. Like, thank you so much for coming up to us. And, you know, they were super on board and just thought it was a great thing. And so I had all this encouragement. I mean, when I got home, I felt high. You know, like I just felt like I want to go there every day. Of course, I didn't because it's a lot of energy. But like,
yeah, no, I mean, minding your own energetic intimacy with strangers. But that's exactly. Like, I mean, even hearing you talk about it is making me kind of have like euphoric like fireworks in my chest. Like that's so lovely.
It was beautiful. Yeah, and then I did like, and then I did my first workshop at this like small 250 person festival out in, outside of Berlin called Rambazamba, which was so much fun. And it was, I mean, this is my perfect sized festival, I think. It was 4 days and they let me do my own workshop. And this was my first workshop because I, you know, just got the cards. And I had 14 people, and it is just super cool to see how most people don't know anyone else, but at the end, like, we all feel like we know each other, and everyone shares, and this is a thing with intimacy, it's like, and this is why I feel like the cards work, because let's say there's just one card, and everyone answers the same question, and everyone's kind of matching the level of vulnerability and they feel comfortable to answer because someone else who maybe is a little more open and, you know, less scared answers. And then they're like, oh, okay, I can answer. And I've seen this many times, even with my own friends, where some people are like, can I just listen? I'm like, yeah, of course. You know, we don't want to force anybody into like participating if you don't want to. And when there is a bigger crowd, a bigger group of friends, you know, it's likely that a lot of people might not want to do it, and maybe just a few will, but in the end they often do. And then they're like, you know what, that was the coolest part of the night. Like, and I feel like, what do they say about memories? It's like the memories are made when your emotions are triggered in some way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we do this and we're feeling all these ways and we're with our friends and we're like, oh, wow, like I just learned something new about you and I've known you for years. And these questions that come up that we, you know, we've created go deep. It's not just like one question. It's like, okay, and then why do you think that, or what, you know,
yeah,
they're multi-leveled questions.
Yeah. And also nice to have kind of questions that can lead to other questions that are, at a more, like that, it's not just kind of like yes or no, or it's not a binary program, right? It's like
exactly,
it's meant to kind of peel the onion a little bit. And I'm,
yeah.
Do you have like a target market, or like who is the kind of person that you had in mind when you're creating this stuff, or was it just like I want to be able to have these in different environments with different kinds of people and have them all have an experience that feels like getting closer?
Yes, I definitely. I mean, the funny thing is the target market expanded or identified itself as I did the protesting, I guess, a little more. But I found, well, first of all, what I think is people whose love language is quality time because this, yeah, I can't imagine much more quality time than this. With your partner, you know, if you're, or even at like Yeah, people at dinner parties. This would be great. If people have dinner parties, they're my target market.
Fantastic. I love this idea. Oh, man.
And then, of course, couples who find themselves stuck in a routine or, like, lack intimacy or, you know, I think my partner and I will often watch a TV series or a movie, you know, at the end of the night, which I love. And I know we all love this, but maybe just like once or twice a week, if we broke that routine and did the cards, like, I think this is great for couples. So couples, who want just a little added something, also people who have a resistance to intimacy. Like, I feel like these are practice cards, and I think we all need to practice, but I think, you know, I say just to do it one card at a time, because it does open you up a little bit and you realize it's not super heavy. Like, there's, you know, one of my favorite emotional intimacy cards is, the happy list. I mean, I have a lot of favorites, of course.
They're all your favorites.
Yeah. But one the happy list asks you to make a list of 5 to 10 very ordinary, unspectacular things that just make you happy. Mm-hmm. Which, while in Mallorca, I added a lot of things to this list. I'm like, oh my God, this, yeah, for sure. Just like the simplest things, you know.
Vacation, for instance.
Yeah, well, that could be spectacular. But one of the examples on the card is cutting food with scissors, which I love.
That's such a good
example.
It makes
me so happy.
Yes,
I will start this YouTube channel eventually.
It's just like cutting food with scissors.
Yeah.
It's the whole channel.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Chives with scissors, or, you know, pizza with
pasta.
Scissors. I don't know. Pasta, sure. Like, I'm sure some people think it's sacrilegious in some way, but I love it. But so hearing different people's little tiny things that make them happy, right? This is gratitude. This is a basis of, like, gratitude. And we all need to focus on the little things sometimes, because, like, the big things right now seem impossible. Like,
yeah,
world
seriously.
Peace, you know? but we could watch clouds over mountaintops, or, you know, and just appreciate these things. So, but it's not heavy. It's not a big question, like, tell me about your biggest trauma, you know, which I don't have, but, like, there's
no intimacy crisis. Like,
yeah.
Your greatest trauma right now.
I think people who have a little resistance or feel scared to be vulnerable or scared to be judged, I think these are good practice cards for them.
Mm.
And maybe people who love beautiful decks of cards.
Because it sounds like the artwork was kind of the initiating factor, and then, like, the inspiration kind of behind this, it wove kind of organically together.
Yeah.
But that it is, in fact, a beautiful thing.
That was a unique selling point, because as I looked, you know, Esther Perel has an amazing game, and there are other intimacy decks out there. It's not a completely novel idea, but I never saw any that kind of mimicked a tarot or oracle deck in this way, you know?
Yeah, that you'd be happy to have kind of in the middle of the coffee table, because it's, like, a beautiful thing,
exactly.
Not just because you're like, let's get real, guys. Although I like that idea. Like, we're about to have a big Thanksgiving feast. I'm like, we're doing fucking intimacy cards.
Yes. Yes, I will send you the PDF. They will.
I'll cut the PDF down with scissors while I'm eating food, so it's almost the same thing. And so, like, another kind of point that you really are emphatic about with this is that, like, it's about play and kind of gamifying intimacy. And I'm curious, like, I know that we all know how fucking dating apps, like, gamify dating and how that maybe is a little bit toxic, but this seems kind of radically healthy and playful and joyful. And can you talk kind of about your, I don't know, the incentive behind that and kind of how exactly you gamify intimacy?
Yeah, I think, you know, when I never actually heard that people said Tinder or dating apps were gamifying dating. And when I thought about that, I was like, I guess it kind of is, because you're swiping left and you're swiping right, or you're super liking, or you're whatever, you know, and there's every dating app has their own shtick. But once you actually go on a date, there's no game unless, well, I guess there's a player.
Unless somebody's read The Pickup Artist.
Yeah. But with the intimacy cards, like, not only is it like a deck of cards, like a game, and there's many different ways of playing, like two players or groups, or lay them all, you know, with the picture side up and pick. And then there's this aspect of not knowing if you're getting an emotional or energetic or physical card, but also just having a card prompt tell you, okay, do this, you know, or answer this question. It makes people a little more willing to do it for some reason, because all of a sudden you have permission. Like, one of my cards is called I Did It. And it's, you're supposed to tell the other person about something you're really proud of. And, you know, this isn't something that most people would just be like, you know, I want to tell you about something I'm really proud of myself, because you would feel like you're boasting, or you're not being humble. Mm-hmm. And this isn't how we do it, you know. But when you have permission and you get to say this, and you hear your friend's stories, and you probably, you know, unless you've known them for many, many years, depending on the story they tell you, you might not have heard this before. And it really shows, like you said, a layers, like onions, you know, like you're just peeling little things, extracting things from your friends or from your partners or from strangers, and finding things out that make them who they are. And it's really beautiful to see, and it feels good. You know, it feels like you have, you know, I say that the intimacy gives you this sense of belonging and a sense of connection, because you can see all these little things about someone else that you can connect with, and we're just revealing it. And yeah. And then as far as play with the physical cards, yeah, so I brought my friend Connor Crichton, who is a meditation teacher. He wrote a book on meditation called This Is It, and I really loved this book. And then he recently wrote a book called The Truth About Love. And this was number 3 on the bestsellers list in Ireland. So
it gives us some credibility. Yeah.
I met him probably the first year I moved here. So we've known each other for almost 6 years. And he was I lived in his apartment for a few months, and we just had this easy relationship where we could create prompts that, yeah, they weren't sexualized, they weren't weird. And it was really important. What I like about his writing is that he's not woo-woo. And I didn't want this to be like a couples therapy kind of thing, because I think that that's out there already. I wanted it to be friendly, and I wanted it to have this friendly voice. And he has that friendly voice as well, where you don't feel like you're being told to do something. We have options, right? So this is
an invitation.
And this is the thing with the physical cards, that yes, you can make it really sensual if you want. Like, my favorite game card prompt is repeat after me, where you, one person does an action or a physical, like I touch your nose, and you touch my nose, and then pull my ears, you know, and then I touch your nose, pull your ears, and I do something else. And you just go back and forth, and it's like a memory game. It really will help with dementia, early onset dementia, if you're worried about this. But you do this back and forth until you forget. And it's so much fun and creative, because if you wanted, you know, you could kiss someone with tongues, or you could stick your tongue in their ear or bite their butt, or I don't know, like there's so many options that you could do to make it more sensual. So it really depends on the players. And of course, consent is in the rules for all the physical cards. So you just, whoever you're playing with, you just make sure that they're okay with this. And, but then there's some like the nose squat, which you just put your nose next to someone else's nose and you go all the way down to the ground and back up like a squat, but you can't let go of your nose.
Noses.
Yeah, your noses are touching the whole time. So you're literally like so close. You're so close to that other person, which when are you ever that close to another person?
Seriously,
without
especially
kissing?
Post-COVID.
Yeah, especially since COVID. And so it's this like really fun platonic activity that it just makes you laugh, and then it brings joy, and you're just like, oh my God, we just did something really weird. We just did a nose squat, and I'm really, you know, I'm looking forward to TikTok like running with a nose squat challenge.
I mean, but it's also, it's like so silly. Like, I don't feel like that there's any kind of like, you know, fuzzy handcuffs moments in this. It doesn't feel like it's designed to kind of, I don't know. I feel like some of those things, like, not that I have an extensive experience with like sex shop cards, but like it doesn't feel like they're kind of trying to like there's no ulterior motive. It's very, they feel very genuine, which
yeah.
I think is very sweet. Like it's like silly and sweet and happy. It's not, there's not this kind of, there's no like slick, shady, you know, like over-sexualized vibe, which I think is really special and hard to find too, because it's like talking about any kind of physical intimacy that's not sexual is kind of foreign in a lot of cultures.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think about, could I do these all with my mom or, you know, my stepdad or like my sister? And most of them, even the questions, you know, there are a couple of questions about sex and like, you know, asking about a sexual fantasy. Maybe you don't want to share this with your parents. And we even say like, use your discretion. You don't have to play all the cards with every person. But even with friends, I think this is important to talk about. It's okay to talk about with your friends. Like sex should be more talked about in a way.
It's part of the reason we have this podcast, you know, it's this idea of it's like, it shouldn't be taboo. And I think it also creates like less shame, more security, more like play and ideally like intimacy in between people feeling comfortable that like this is not off the table and that your behaviors or desires aren't weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? And that was in our rules, we're like, number one rule is be present. Number two is be an open and active listener. And then I can't remember all the numbers, but one of them I think is really important is not to judge. Like judging is not welcome and vulnerability is definitely encouraged, and emotional expressions as well. But I think that judgment, and I think that's why with the play and with the games, like, you know, I think when we were kids, we would play on the playground, we would tackle each other, we would do whatever, we would touch each other and not in a sexual way. And I think this was so important. And as adults, we don't. Like when I think about it, I'll touch my friend's arm. And sometimes that feels really weird because we don't do it often, but why don't we do it so often? And I really think that we should normalize this a little more. And one of the questions I have lined up in that I've been asking people for my Instagram is, what is one act of physical intimacy that you'd like to see more of in the world? And a lot of people said cuddles, more hugs. I want forehead kisses.
forehead kisses.
Some people said like kisses on the hands or forehead to forehead. And I think
with checks.
Yeah.
Bumping.
yeah, chest bumps, or yeah, I mean, there could be so many. And I think we, yeah, normalizing this could be really cool.
So one of our Sober Stoics anchor questions, as I get weirder, can you, like, because it seems kind of such a through line through your relationships and obviously this work, like, I'm very curious as to what the first messages you received, not so much around sex and sexuality, although that's interesting too, but more around intimacy. Like, how did this become such a purpose for you?
So I guess I wonder this too, but growing up, my mother's Chinese, she was born in Taiwan, and my dad's American, born in Long Beach, and neither of them were very intimate. I guess we never heard "I love you." There weren't hugs. My sister, she's 7 years older, and even we weren't very. We were never, you know, cuddly or it. And I didn't feel like I was missing anything. I don't, you know, you don't know what you're missing really if you've never had it. And I mean, my parents are lovely and great, but I didn't grow up in a very cuddly, warm family, you know. My mom's definitely, I mean, my love language is acts of service. And I probably got that from my mom telling me, like, I cook for you. I do all this. This is me showing love.
This is my love.
Yeah. And I feel love in that way. But I would say, you know, I felt really uncomfortable with PDA, like public displays of affection. I never liked holding hands. I used to have this like, oh, if anyone tried to hold my hand, I'd be like, what is happening? I really don't like this feeling. It was so intimate. It felt really intimate. And I also wonder, I felt like maybe it felt like ownership or someone's like, you're mine, you know, and I didn't like that. But then I had friends who were very affectionate and would say, I love you a lot and hug and cuddle. And that felt really nice. And I thought like, oh, okay, that's nice. And then I started saying, I love you like more. This. And I'm like, this feels good. And like I said, I've always been really, like, I'm an extrovert, you know, so I love meeting new people and that gives me energy. Like, I love a party where I don't know anyone. Like, that's why, you know, I came to Berlin and I didn't know anyone and this excites me. But I didn't, like, I guess, and as a late bloomer, let's see. I feel like I always knew I wanted to find my purpose. And I was a photographer. I was a graphic designer. I was a fashion designer. I love the arts, but I always wondered how those things were helping the world. maybe if I make clothes that are really nice and people feel good in them, then it helps their self-esteem and this is enough, you know, or I don't know. I tried to think because I felt like I knew I needed to do more. And so when this project happened and I thought about it, I was like, of course, this makes so much sense. Like when I moved to Berlin, my friends were like, we're going to give you a couple of years and then we're going to come visit and wait till you know everybody and then we'll come and it'll be all sorted. And, you know, I don't know everybody, but I know a lot of really great people here and I feel very much that this is my home now. And it's such a comforting feeling. And I feel like, what if I could create something that allows other people to have this sense of connection and belonging somehow? You know, this is my purpose, I guess.
That's so beautiful. I genuinely feel like that's like what a thing to offer the world, you know, that kind of modality where it suddenly becomes easy, especially as like an introvert, to kind of have like a glimpse into what it might feel like to desire immediate connection or to feel like that's accessible. Like that's such a cool offering.
Yeah.
I've never thought about
introverts are my other target market.
Oh, I think we have a lot of introverts listening because introverts love podcasts.
Doesn't love podcasts.
It's true. I mean, I can name a few. My dad, because he can't figure out how to fucking listen. But I mean, like, if we've tried to record a podcast together like 9 times and he can't figure out how to download Chrome.
So, oh no.
Shout out, Dad. You can't hear this. But, you know, I think a lot about how these, like, because of our target market, which is like sober curious people and, you know, people interested in sex, is like, because it's often in recovery, I think that like often when we get sober, it can be very, very difficult to like figure the fuck out what intimacy might be like, both in terms of like friendship, like general socializing and, you know, sex and even self-intimacy, because like so much of our identities can be attached to like being annihilated. Or just like having kind of, you know, liquid courage as like the means of connection. So we can be really disorganized when it comes to intimacy, upon getting sober and even like deep into sobriety. And it feels like this is such a special tool for people who might like need kind of a crash course in like friendly connection.
Yeah. One of the workshops, Connor and I did one together in Berlin, and there were a few sober people there, and they were just like, this is how I would like to spend my evening, is a group of, you know, we had 14 people, and they're like, this is a perfect way to connect with people. And you don't have, you know, you're not tempted by going to a bar or going to a club, and you can actually hear and see everyone. And you're there for a purpose, which is to experiment with intimacy in a different way. And what I thought was so cool, and it was only a 2-hour workshop, is that at the end, independent of anything that we said or encouraged, like everyone exchanged numbers because they wanted to get together again.
Do an intimacy card.
Yeah, and do another intimacy card night. I mean, I wish that I had them now to sell, but eventually, this is part of what I was saying with the intimacy movement, is like, there could be intimacy card nights where this is like a thing. Like, I don't know, I think back in the day there were, you know, people got together to play bridge or different card games, you know, and it's like,
my partner has like his princess club, which is like Dungeons and Dragons in 2 different groups on alternating weeks.
This is going to be the new Dungeons and Dragons for those seeking intimate connections. Yeah. But I think because really the longevity of this game, I'm wondering, like, I'm so curious to see what happens when it gets out in the world, because I still haven't done every single card, which sounds weird because I made them, but I've done lots of them with different people, and still there's ones that we'll pick. I'm like, oh yeah, I haven't done this with anyone else, you know? And I think it just will have legs and it'll run on its own. And I think people could use them however they want. Like, I'm really excited to know how other people use them. They might use it as a tarot, like pick one and interpret why they picked it and, you know, and do it with their partner. And yeah, I can't wait. I just think that the full potential of the cards will reveal itself.
That's awesome. And what an exciting thing to kind of look forward to. And so basically, like, we don't typically like sell this hard on sober sex because it's not a sponsored podcast. But I do think, like, again, this is a time sensitive matter because there's a Kickstarter and it's all or nothing. So can you talk a little bit about the campaign and like what people need to fucking do right now if they want this to be a reality?
Yes. Yes. Please pledge. So a lot of people might not know what Kickstarter is, but it is an all or nothing crowdfunding platform. And so we are halfway through. I think we're actually right now at the 15-day mark, but probably by the time the podcast comes out, some days will have gone by.
Yes.
Yeah, but it ends on the 9th of November. And if you pledge for a deck, you can get a deck for, well, it depends where you are. So shipping is included afterwards. But I think it's between like $40 and $50 or euros, depending on where you are. But it will then pay for the printing and the shipping and the shipping to you. And hoping, fingers crossed, that they'll be ready before Christmas. They say not to promise these things, but they are already actually
New Year's Day, New Year's Day plan.
I know. I mean, they're being printed now. So it's all about shipping and if they can ship, what happens after. And but I will be making them no matter what. It's just a matter of like how I can find the money to do it. So hopefully I can get the crowdsourced funding, and that would be amazing. And I only need like 4,000 more, I think. I've already raised 6,000, so we're asking for 10,000, and which means only, I don't know, maybe 70 more pledges. It doesn't seem like it's that much, but
it's not that many. I mean, we have regularly listeners above that number. So you guys, if you all do it, we can make this happen. No, and I feel like excited about it because it seems like it's such a worthy cause and something that could be very useful and is quite on brand for hopefully for our listeners.
Yeah, I do. I just think it's important. And first, like, I like this idea of intimacy with strangers, you know, like the intimacy nights I was talking about with the cards. I imagine like you have a small group and everyone brings someone that nobody knows, and you do, but that they're trusted, you know, decent humans.
Not just absolute, not the person that you met on the metro, but like.
Exactly.
A someone friend you that your for. Other friends don't know.
Yes, exactly.
To be clear.
Yes. And, I just think it offers a lot, you know. I've done it one time. I was at my friend's birthday party in the park, and we were going late, and we asked one of my favorite emotional intimacy questions is the afterlife card, and it asks, "What are your thoughts about death, and what do you think happens after we die, and how big is the gap between what you believe and what you want to believe?"
Mm-hmm.
And the answers to this question have been so interesting and actually had changed my view. Like one of the answers I heard, I was like, oh, now I believe that too. Thank you very much. And, but you'd be surprised at how different people's answers are. And then the discussions that happen around that. And, yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah, that sounds really, really powerful.
Cool. Yeah.
I just had a really good idea.
Yeah.
I think we should play a little game, and it's called Your Game. Would you mind pulling for us a emotional intimacy card?
Yes.
We'll do it together.
Okay. Oh my God, yes. Let me get it.
I'm so excited. I was like, why didn't I think of this?
Okay. I'm ready.
Awesome.
I've pulled the RIP card. So it reads, "It's your funeral. We're so sorry." But what are the people in attendance who have come to say goodbye saying about you? If it's difficult to see yourself through other people's eyes, your partner can help with prompts and suggestions on how they see you. So basically, you have to write your own eulogy.
Oh, that's such a, that is a very intimate question, right? Because it's like, you don't want to come off as like a total braggart, right?
You're like, she was amazing. We're going to miss her. But yeah, I think, yeah, this is one of those maybe cringe cards where you're like, oh, do I say that about myself? But then also thinking really like, how do you affect other people and how do they see you? And yeah, it reminds me of the Maya Angelou quote that I love, which is, I always get wrong, but it's people won't remember the things that you've given them or that you've said to them or, you know, this kind of thing, but they'll always remember how you made them feel. Mm. And I think at our funeral.
Yeah, that's so, I mean, it's very sweet, but it's also very heavy. Yeah. Especially.
Are you ready for this?
I don't know. I'm feeling very emotional.
We can pick another one if you want. Yeah.
No, it's cool. I think that this is like a bold move.
Yeah.
and had so a great podcast.
Yeah. One of the rules, the main rule for the emotional intimacy cards is that you both have to know what you're going to answer before anyone answers, because obviously listening is really important. And if someone's thinking about what they're going to say while someone else is talking, which we would tend to do if we don't know our own answer, then yeah, it kind of.
Oh, ruins. That's a really good rule.
Yeah.
I wish they had that rule in AA meetings. It's all like pretending to listen, thinking about our own responses. Would you mind going first?
No, I don't mind going first, but
Let's have a thought. Let's have a thinking moment.
Yeah, let's have it. It could also help if we wrote it down, but since we're like kind of doing it
off the dome.
Yeah.
I think we'd be more embarrassed to write it down. And then if anybody finds it, they're like, wow.
Do you know what you're going to say?
I have an idea of the kind of values that I would like people to remember me around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go off.
Okay. Okay. We are here today to say goodbye to a very special human. Charlene Durfee Francois had a special energy that we all will miss. And knowing what she thought about energy, I think we can all be really happy that her little energy particles are just drifting through the universe now, blending and mixing with all the other energy particles, and will eventually come back around in some way through the things that we might not even notice. But she will always be around, and we are so happy that she brought love and connection and her positive energy to almost every situation and interaction that we had with her.
That was beautiful. You crushed it. Like, oh my God, I can't believe you didn't think about that really hard. And I also really appreciate how it was like, it wasn't, it didn't come off as like boastful. It came off as very like genuine about like how you want to be perceived, but in like a kind of open-ended way. Bravo.
I mean, I think one of the best compliments I think I got from like a first date was someone who's like, I love your energy. And I know that seems so cliche and so whatever, but I felt it and I was like, yeah, I like your energy too. And I just thought, like, how cool. this is a good trait that I think I have. And like the Maya Angelou quote.
That I feel like, yeah. I mean, I'm feeling. I was very emotional while you were talking too. I was like, "Are we gonna cry?"
I felt emotional. I was like,
"Ooh,
yeah, breathe."
Okay. I know you said not to think about mine while you were doing yours, but I was like, "Wow, Charlene's fucking crushing this." Mine was like, "This might change." We are here today to send off our friend Louisa, who we will remember with a lot of joy, because she tried to be really generous with us. And just like the the dog is next to me, and I'm like, and she loved the dog. Because I do. You're like, ask your partner for prompts. I'm like, Riot, what do you think? I'm sorry to make this too silly. Yeah, and she was a good friend, and we hope that we can pass that joy and that generosity forward. Amen. But
Amen.
I do.
And don't cry. Stop crying. No. Cry more. Cry really hard.
I love crying.
Yeah. Crying's the best.
No, I'm like dog hair stuck to my cheeks. Riot left. Fuck you, Riot. Oh, I do feel closer.
She's too sad. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like staring at me. She's like, don't bring me into your bullshit.
Aww.
She's like giving me side eye over the couch. She's like,
she's like, don't try to take me with you.
Yeah. Yes, Riot, murder, suicide. Oh, but that's like, I think in a large group, that would be a really funny and also like heartwarming question.
Yeah.
Have you done that in a gang before, like in a big group?
So the interesting thing is so at Rumbatzamba, there was a living funeral workshop that I did, and I thought, like, and there were so many other workshops that I had cards that represented, and I was like, this is like a festival in a box for adults. Like, this is kind of, you know, there's some breath work, there's like, there's even a contact dance card, and like, but it was powerful, this living funeral. And we actually laid down, we had to write something down. And so we laid down and someone read it for us while we laid there, and everyone else kind of pretended to shovel dirt on us. And it was actually really powerful. And we had, you know, conversations about death. And I mean, I don't know why I love talking about death so much, but I guess it's because it makes us appreciate life, right?
Yeah. And I think grief is like an interesting pathway to intimacy, like with self, with life, you know, and with other, like, that's cool. And also, I don't know, I think next week we're going to be recording with this person, Brooke Herr, who's like they're like a grief doula kind of.
Oh.
And I do feel like there's some kind of like linking between like the ritual that one could make around the intimacy cards, because a lot of their work is around like ritual and acknowledgement and kind of like creating containers for life events. And I do feel like the intimacy cards, as playful as they are, also kind of offer a container in a really interesting way. And I think that that's like, especially in a modern world, which can be so fucking cynical and like lonely, to have a ritual around coming together and like creating intimate connection is so special.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, ideally, I think, you know, this was kind of the idea of making a deck of cards. It's like you have something in your hand that you're meeting with someone. I mean, of course, we're doing this through video, and we could, but if you're sitting there and you have these cards, and connecting in person, this is what we need. You know, this is like, we're like this on our phones and hoping we get likes or comments, and all of a sudden everyone's in front of their phone or in front of their computer, and we really need to connect as humans. And I feel that's why the cards, being a physical product, is helpful, even though we also offer a digital deck for those of you
who need that
on the Kickstarter campaign. But if you can't afford it, but you know.
Yeah. Hey, guys, all access points available on the Kickstarter. Yes,
exactly. We'll take donations too.
But that I like that idea, because I think also more recently, I don't know if you've noticed this, but it seems like social media has stopped being so much that's like about social connection, and has actually changed. Like, it's like now one part social connection, but then like one part shopping mall and one part TV. The emphasis is away from friendship. And a lot of the times, like, I'm not even seeing what my friends are actually doing. And I'm just like in an endless reel scroll of like silly dogs, which has its own benefits, but is not actually connected.
Yeah, I know. I remember when Instagram first started and I was like, I loved it as a photographer. I was like, this is the best way to meet other photographers and get your pictures out, and you were getting encouragement from people that you didn't even know, that you're like liking your photos, and this actually meant someone who, you know, likes your photo, not just liking you because you're pretty, or, you know,
because the algorithm presented you that day. Yes, you know.
Yeah. And it's taken a terrible turn, I think.
I agree. And hence, we have this alternative.
yes. But at the same time, you know, when I started this Instagram for the intimacy cards, I knew I didn't want just like a product page. Like, I really wanted to start a conversation around intimacy and have these little 1-minute videos of my friends or strangers, whoever, anyone who wants to send a video. I can send you the questions and you can submit your videos. I'd be very happy to post them.
And you need a podcast.
Well, no, I'm actually going to do a podcast. Yeah. Hey. I can't wait. And we will be like just recording people answering the questions of the cards, and we'll just do like a nice little eavesdrop, you know,
treat.
But no, I really am into the idea of redefining intimacy, and with like different genders, different age groups, different religions, different, you know, people with trauma backgrounds, people with,
non-trauma backgrounds, which I'm like, who is that?
Do you know anyone?
No. Hilariously. Hi guys.
Everyone. But I think, you know, when I first asked my different friends, like one friend is like, intimacy is terrifying. And another one's like, intimacy gives me tingles. It makes me, you know, and how you think about it can change, of course, depending on maybe your mood or whatever. But for me, I felt intimacy is when you
I'm laughing. Wait, I'm going to give you an anecdote that's like probably not very good for selling the cards, but I was working with a sponsee, and I was like, so wait, what is your drug of choice? And they were like, intimacy. I'm like, that's not true. That's not true. Your drug of choice is chem sex. You're like a meth addict. Stop it. So to our newly sober friends, this deck is for you, baby. If you think your drug is intimacy, well, do we have a treat for you?
Fix. cards, 60 individual cards. You can dip in with lots of different people.
Yes. And like, I would not recommend during chem sex, but if that's like, if that's your thing, this might make it healthier. I don't know. Anyway, so before we end, because I know I've been keeping you quite a while, we descend into the lightning round, which is probably not unlike very fast intimacy cards. So, and this is just to kind of help us end on an even more effervescent note. Okay. First question, what is your favorite snack?
Ooh, favorite. I guess the first thing that came to mind was sourdough bread with avocado or good olive oil.
That sounds very good. I mean, it also sounds like you live in Berlin. Delicious.
Yes.
We love a sourdough.
I mean, I miss my avocados from California, but I'll take the avocados they have in Berlin.
It's true. Yeah. What is the last wonderful book or series or piece of media that you consumed and loved?
Oh, God. Sex Education was actually really great. The latest one was, yeah, I consumed it and I loved it.
That's a fantastic show. Although I do feel like the third season was like, there was some nonsense, but like they still managed to get away with like me loving them desperately.
Yeah.
What is it? Adam being like horses, you know, they have totally regular sized heads. That sounds accurate. Third question, what turns you on? And that can be like sexually, or it can be creatively or energetically. Like what lights you up?
I mean, massages was the first thing that came to mind.
I love a massage. Yeah.
There's a massage card too.
That's really good.
A massage workshop. Helpful.
Just like my partner's like, why do I keep pulling this massage card? I'm like, I don't know. Did I print them all? Is this only a massage card deck?
There's also the wild cards, which I forgot to mention, which you can use for many reasons, but one is to go back to a card you liked. So you could just keep going back to that massage card.
It would force me to keep pulling the wild cards. Yeah. I already have a scheme. What is on or in your bedside table? Wait, I don't like that question. That question's whack. One sec.
Crystals.
Crystals. We love a crystal. What kind? I'm actually curious.
It's a salt lamp, not a crystal. It's a salt lamp.
It's still really nice.
Which feels crystally.
I
love rocks. I just love rocks. Yeah, and the glow. I mean, I have it on from morning to night because I heard they last forever. So I'm just seeing how long forever is.
I assume more than your whole life, but we'll find out. More than every day. The other question, like usually I write these down, and today I'm winging it. I apologize. It could be fun. It could be not great. But I wonder how, if you feel like you're a little overstimulated, how do you kind of ground yourself and get back into your body?
Breath. I do this box breath. Kimmy taught me. Yeah.
I have to have Kimmy on Sober Sex. Kimmy's the best.
Yeah. She's the best. She's in the other room right now teaching breath.
Perfect. We love a box breath breathing.
Yeah.
Awesome. And finally, what do you love?
I love mushrooms. I love everything about mushrooms. Not just magic mushrooms, I have to clarify, but the gills, all the different kinds of mushrooms in the fungi kingdom, what they do medicinally, environmentally, how they look, how many there are, all the fun facts about mushrooms. I'm obsessed.
Awesome.
Because
on the list of like what's a five, well, one of the five things that I think would bring me great happiness, like just kind of simple things, it's like if I see random mushrooms and there's lots here in the middle of nowhere where it's very rainy, if they're just growing out of the ground, I like to gently kick them. Just because it's like, I feel like I like live in like a Smurf palace. I'm like, just like pop, pop. Anyway.
Yeah, if you find puff balls and then if they're old and you step on them, then they send all their spores out.
Oh, that's cool.
That would be satisfying for you, I'm sure.
I think so. Okay. New mission.
Yeah.
And before we end, where can people find you on the internet and how can people join the Kickstarter for Intimacy Cards?
Can I send you a link for the Kickstarter? You could also just
link
Google.
Will be in show notes. Google okay, Intimacy great. Cards, and the Instagram is at Intimacy Cards.
At Intimacy Cards for Instagram, and the website is intimacy-cards.com. And if you just go to Kickstarter and put Intimacy Cards in there, it will pop up as well. Awesome. And then I am Charlene Durfee. SHHHARLENEDURFEY is my personal Instagram. And then my mushroom art is shrooms, which is three H's also, ROOOMS.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being so generous with us today. It's a delight.
This is so fun.
Creativity, authenticity, body autonomy, mental health, sexuality, gender identity, recovery, got a spiritual growth, sober sex, all of this and more, sober sex, you'll never get bored, sober sex, all of this and more, sober sex, we're never ever bored, creativity, authenticity, body autonomy, mental health, sexuality, gender identity.